Being a parent can be really challenging. It's normal to feel uncertain about whether you're doing the right things to raise healthy and happy children. That's why Child and Family Resource Network focuses on connecting pregnant parents and those with kids under the age of 5 with free support services to help them build confidence in their parenting journey. Everyone deserves to have someone they can turn to for support with parenting. Visit childandfamilyresourcenetwork.org today.
Hello and welcome to episode 150 of
Pararonilai.
And on this episode, I'll be talking to Heather Turkington, who is an actress, a singer, and a drama therapist. And that's mainly what we'll be talking about. This week has been quite an amazing experience for me. I just went down to La Hinch initially to do a bit of surfing. Well, do a surfing lesson with a group of friends. And that I did, and I loved it. Absolutely brilliant. It was Ben's Surfing School, I think, in La Hinch. And a guy called Richie, I believe, was really good. I did actually get up on the board maybe 3-4 times really properly. And it's probably only seconds, but it feels fantastic when you get right standing up on that board. And went for a few dips in the sea, but decided then I'd go down south with a couple of people who wanted to keep on going. And so we went down to Dingle with a couple of friends. And on the Monday, we went rock climbing. They asked me if I wanted to go. I'd never done it before. I went out on the kind of cliff face, did 3 climbs. A fella called Noel was the instructor. I think it's Ireland Adventures or something, rock climbing, and they do kayaking as well. But it was fucking unbelievable. I really want to do it again. I'm covered in cuts and scrapes, and my arms were really aching the next day. And they were aching actually already from the surfing, just from the pushing up on the board. But it was amazing and a beautiful day, but it was so hot that it was actually great to be out on the edge of the coast where there was a bit of a breeze. And so did 3 climbs, and at times I was cursing and going, what the fuck am I going to do here? Because you're looking for little holes for your hands and places to put your foot. And a couple of times I slipped, but you got a rope, you know, that catches you so you don't actually fall and break your legs or anything like that. But I didn't feel any fear that way about things, because I guess Noel just was a very trustworthy fella and a great instructor. So that was amazing. And then I decided to keep on going myself and go down to Carter Savine. And even further than Carter Savine, I went to Port Magee and even onto Valentia Island. And I met a couple of friends down there, and a fellow called Sean O'Leary, who is a storyteller and has a herd of goats, which he milks himself. And he tells goat stories. He tells stories with his goats. They're not stories about goats. And I hung out with him and another friend of mine, Holly Woollett. And we had a good old time. And then I said, well, I guess I better go back home. So I came back home very late on Tuesday night. In fact, Wednesday morning, to be honest. But it was a bit of an adventure. I thought I was only going to go for a day or two. But I kept on going. The weather was fantastic and got to see a bit of the country. So I really want to go away again. Might go to Donegal next, but what a time I had. And I was down in Carter Savine. I bumped into Pat Short, who I'd been working with only a week previously, shooting some stand-up and sketches and stuff, which will be streamed sometime in maybe September or August or whatever. And some good stuff coming up. I'm actually going to do a feature film in August as well. and I am doing another streamed event next Friday in well, I'll tell you all about it. That's in me. Then I'll be interviewing a few people and reading a poem, a Seamus Heaney poem called The Wishing Tree. I do another podcast, which is a sketch podcast. We finished, actually, we've done 6 episodes, and the last one was a musical. And here's a little clip of that.
Many people seemed to have been caught unaware when the division fences were erected. The government said these actions now would save lives later.
I don't think I can longer live in this community. The vaccination has resulted in such disunity. How naive to presume there would be herd immunity. I just want Allie and me to be all alone.
Separation has resulted in anxiety. Our dreams woken up by sobriety. Don't want to be part of this society. We should really start a herd of our own.
Protesters on both sides have torn down the fences. The curfew has been abandoned. There were some scuffles, but people who had become separated by the fences have been reunited.
We can avoid all the contagion.
With self-imposed self-isolation.
And with every ejaculation.
We can establish our own little nation.
Let's escape this world. It's so obscene.
Live our lives. Quarantine.
Build ourselves a little home.
And finally have
a herd of our own.
And that is called DICTV Radio. And you get it on Spotify, iTunes, anywhere that you can listen to podcasts. And it's good. It's a sketch comedy podcast. And the 6th episode is a musical. And of course, Potteroony is on the Head Stuff Podcast Network, and there are so many amazing podcasts on that. It's mind-blowing. But here's one of them.
Okay, it's Jibs here from Pints of Malt. So our podcast is basically a group of Irish Nigerian lads who tell their stories, growing up in Ireland as well as Nigeria. And we share our experiences with all of y'all. We also add a bit of comedy as well, you know, to get y'all laughing. Get y'all through the week in these tough times that we are in. So y'all sit back and just, you know, enjoy the show.
As Jib said, we're the Pints of Malt podcast. You can find us on all streaming platforms, including the Head Stuff Network.
So many on there that will keep you going if you're going on a journey or if you want to listen to something as you go to sleep at night or whatever. There's some brilliant podcasts, and it's a good idea to support Irish podcasts. Isn't it? Yeah, of course it is. Of course it bleeding is. Right, yeah. So here's my chat with the very wonderful Heather Turkington. Okay, well, I'm talking to Heather Turkington, and Heather, you started off doing drama when you were young, yeah?
I did. I was one of those theatre kids, and I did my drama GCSE, and I was in all the festivals and all the rest of it. And I was well on my way to kind of becoming an actor or whatever, but I always kind of knew that there was just something different that I wanted to do. Mm. And I couldn't figure out what it was. So I did a few things, like I did community theatre, and I had my own kind of theatre group where I travelled around schools and community centres and did kind of like issue-based workshops and theatre pieces and that sort of thing. Mm. But still, so something missing. So it wasn't actually until I was about 26 that I realized there was a thing called drama therapy. I was living in Australia at the time, and I Googled, I think, the words drama and therapy, because those were the two things I was really interested in life, and the things that I was kind of like, should I do one? Should I do the other? And it turned out that if you join the two words together, it's an actual job. So I was just like, okay, that is what I'm going to do with my life. I'm 26, still haven't figured out what the flip I'm going to be at for the next kind of 40 years or so. I think this might be it. So it was a big kind of reason that I moved home, because obviously can't afford international fees. That's mad. And there was one course in Ireland at that point. Unfortunately, it doesn't exist anymore, so we're trying to get another one sorted, but that's for later. So I did that course. It was a 2 years master's, and I graduated when I was 30. That was 2018. I feel really old now.
I thought you were younger, actually. You look younger.
Brilliant. I love that. Okay, I'll take that, Joe.
No, but it's true. I'm not just, I'm not, it's not just flattery here, but, so what did that course entail? Now, what was different about that than learning just drama, just doing a drama course?
Yeah. So this is a question that comes up time and time again in my work, I think. And, because everyone's like, oh, you're a drama teacher. Oh, you're a therapist. Oh, you work with trauma, no drama. You know, like there's so many kind of misconceptions. So basically the way I usually explain it is that I am a therapist. I'm a psychotherapist, but I use drama and kind of creative techniques to implement therapy, basically to do therapy. So a lot of our work would kind of be like, a lot of non-verbal kind of stuff. So we're not a talking therapy per se. And it really fits well with kind of people who maybe are not ready to talk about certain things that have happened in their lives, or people who, you know, can't communicate the way a lot of people around them do, you know, that sort of thing. So, you know, there's a lot of people that talking therapy does work for, but I think equally there's a lot of people that non-talking therapy works for as well. And that's kind of where the creative therapies come in, like drama therapy.
I'm interested in the whole non-verbal thing. Now, I've probably spoke about this maybe once or twice in the podcast, but I did a clowning course for a week, just for a week, right? And that's non-verbal. After that week, I felt like I'd been through therapy, because there was a lot of trying to communicate non-verbally with people and looking at them, and just purely one-to-one looking into someone's eyes. Like, it can make you very emotional.
Yeah, I think it can be a really intense thing. But I think equally for people who maybe don't communicate the way everyone else around them does, like everyday communications is a really intense thing, because that's not their method of communication. So it's about finding everyone's different languages, I suppose, whereas society in general doesn't do that. Society in general is very much about, you know, like, let's get up and public speak and be really social and that sort of thing, whereas not everyone is like that. So drama therapy kind of gives space for people to communicate in their own way. And, you know, it can be really, like, refreshing, I think, for a lot of people, because they can just completely communicate as themselves, rather than we all do it like this kind of persona that you put on kind of in social situations or in public situations, you know, that sort of thing. So
all right, so are you how are you working with people? Is there a group situation or one-to-one?
It can be both. So at the moment I'm working mostly one-to-ones. I'm working in a male residential/nursing facility for men living with mental ill health in County Armagh. And a lot of that, just for many, many different reasons, is a one-to-one basis. But drama therapy actually works really, really well in the group. And that would be kind of the first port of call that you would go to. So I would work with a lot of kind of, I've worked with families who've been bereaved recently, groups of different families kind of coming together who have been bereaved and worked in group situations there. I've worked with people with autism in groups as well. And, you know, equally, they're very good at working one-to-one. So we are really, really client kind of led and person centered. So it really kind of depends on what is going to work best for the person that we're working with, or the people that we're working with, or what kind of issues are within a certain group. Can we kind of like bring a certain group of people together, or will they work better one-to-one? And that's all part of the process, is working out exactly, you know, what is going to be good for this person / group of people.
Yeah. I'm still trying to get my head around it, but like, I mean, are you talking about a group, say a family dealing with bereavement? Are they going to act out something? Are they going to act out a scene?
No, so I think direct kind of acting out, that's a different type of therapy. That's psychodrama. Whereas drama therapy is very indirect. So we work a lot with stories, with myths. We would use kind of masks. We would use kind of a lot of, there's a technique called embodiment, projection, and role. And you go through these kind of three areas. So it's kind of all about, you know, sensory kind of things and really kind of getting into your body, really kind of grounding yourself. I think a lot of times whenever we're working with stories, people will automatically choose stories that, and they don't even realize they're doing it, but every time I work with stories, it's so, oh my word, it's gorgeous. Like they actually pick stories that they are going to connect with it with like really well in the next kind of few weeks or however many sessions that we have scheduled. And the themes and issues within that story, are usually ones that they subconsciously really, really need to work with, and feel like they're ready to work with as well. You know, drama therapy is very gentle in the fact that it will never kind of be like, right, you need to like face this traumatic situation that you've never dealt with before, you know, and you need to do it all now. It's not like that. You know, it might take weeks, months, years sometimes to kind of get to a point where a service user or a client can deal with that healthily, and that's fine, because it's all about them. And we would use a lot of like masks and puppet work and Santres, and oh, it's so much fun, Joe.
Yeah,
a fun job. I love it. Like, I really, really adore it.
It sounds great. You know, I love doing. It's not that often I do, but I do workshops maybe for improv, or I thought I did the clown thing, and it's great to get a chance to act out stuff. Yeah. And it's weird what comes out of your head.
Yeah. And I think improv kind of is one of those things that can really touch. Oh, I remember being so scared of improv when I was wee. I hated it. I absolutely hated it because I was so scared of what would actually come out, I think. In your head, you're like, oh gosh, no, I'm too weird for this. Like, something awful will come out that I've never told anyone, or, you know, I'll just say something really like awkward and it won't be able to cover it up or whatever. I hated it. I probably still have a little thing where I'm like, I can't cope with improv. But I think then drama therapy is kind of different in the way that, you know, if there's kind of improv involved in that, if the service user is happy to kind of do that, it is the safest space possible because you're in control. You know, there's not a million people, or, you know, even four or five people sitting there watching you. Usually if it's one-to-one specifically, you know, it's just you and the therapist. So Yeah, and you know that you're working through stuff. You're meant to say that awkward kind of like stuff that hasn't come out before. That's and then you kind of go, oh, what was that? You know, let's deal with that. Whereas kind of maybe in a normal improv group, it would be like, oh, I have to leave that hanging now, and that's going to haunt me for the rest of my life.
I think I've done that a few times. It's a bit awkward, yeah, because I think if you're going through a situation, a breakup or something, a bereavement, yeah, that kind of stuff will come out. Even in comedy, yeah, it'll come out.
Yeah, because it's at the forefront of your head. It's not something that's just going to disappear because you're on stage. Always something really big like that, like a breakup or a bereavement, like you say, they're things that are just like, you can't think about anything else at that point. They're all encompassing. And you're just like, how am I going to talk about anything else? How am I going to be like funny? How am I going to do any of this stuff whenever all I can think of is about how sad I am?
But that can be strangely funny. Dark humor is probably the best humor, you know?
This is very true. This is very true. I'm not sure I've quite coined it, but leave that to the professionals like you, Joe.
No, yeah, that's really interesting. The mask thing is interesting. That was part of the clown thing as well. I guess there's an amazing freedom if you've got a mask on.
We actually did a few weeks of kind of clowning as well within our master's course as well. And I don't know, you think of clowns and you think, well, depending on your opinion of clowns, you either think funny or scary.
Mm.
But I'm sure maybe you find this with your clown work, but I have never, it was so moving, like the work that actually came out of clowning, and so poignant and so gentle. And it was a really kind of surprising experience because all we were doing was putting a nose on.
Me too, yeah.
And then you were just, I don't know how it happened, but you were entered into this really kind of just, I don't know, really lovely world that you didn't even know existed. So yeah, that's kind of the only clowning work I've ever done, but it's definitely something that I would love to kind of like read up on at least, you know, because it was just such a lovely experience. But
I find tough about it is that you weren't allowed to fake it, and I was the worst at trying to fake it. And that what I mean fake it is put on an act or something. You had to be kind of yourself, even though you had a red nose on. It was kind of, you have to have some kind of truth. I don't know. It's very hard to explain this, but every time I tried to fake it, the teacher would go, stop, start again, you know, and it was, oh, so hard for me, you know.
I don't think it's enough of a mask to kind of be like, oh, I can completely be a different person now, because you are just like, it's this nose. What I'm meant to do, really, it took me a while to kind of even understand it. You know, I just felt like I'm standing there awkwardly with a red nose on me going, I don't know what I'm doing at all. But yeah, you're right. And with it's different with mask work, because a lot of mask work, and it's really poignant stuff as well, but in a different way. And it's about kind of exploring different, you're exploring kind of different sides of yourself, different maybe characters that you didn't even know existed and emotions that you didn't know were there, that sort of thing. So you can actually physicalize those. And it's your choice whether you actually kind of choose to put the mask on. That's actually quite a rare thing in drama therapy, because that can be quite intense. So a lot of the time you kind of always have it at arm's length, at a safe kind of distance, until you're kind of ready to come a little bit closer to that side of yourself, but you've kind of found out by physicalizing it onto this mask. So it can be absolutely beautiful work as well, and finding out what that character is, and giving kind of words and colors to it, and physicality in general. It can really kind of help you get to know sides of yourself that you didn't know were there. So that is gorgeous work within drama therapy, and yeah, I love using it.
Sounds amazing, because you're right, there's a lot of emphasis on verbalizing stuff in Western society anyway, and physical is just as good, if not a better way to kind of get to things that you're trying, that you find hard to touch on in yourself, I suppose.
Yeah. And it's harder to, you were talking about faking things, like it's harder to fake things when you're physicalizing, I think. Because lots of people are good at talking, I think, and lots of people are really good talkers and can talk their way out of anything and can, you know, I think physicalizing is a lot more of an honest way of communicating sometimes, because it's a lot more difficult to lie. And I think it like comes in where people are like looking at your body language, like, you know, those body language experts that look at people whenever they're talking to see if they're lying, you know, because it's really, really hard to fake that. So
yeah,
once you kind of really get into that method of communicating, it's a deeper level that that's really kind of gorgeous to delve into sometimes. So
right. And you grew up in Northern Ireland. Do you think there's a lot of trauma people are dealing with from what has happened in Northern Ireland over the last 30 years or 40 years?
Oh, Joe, like there is so, so much.
Yeah.
And I see it everywhere. I see it within my family. I see it with like my friends and their families. Like there's no getting away from it here. That's our history. That's our long-term history and our short-term history. And it's something we're only kind of starting to get out of now, even though, you know, it's still everywhere. It's still kind of all-encompassing. And a lot of people I work with would have been very badly affected by the Troubles as well. And a lot of people in my personal life. So I am really, really interested in transgenerational trauma. And that I really need to read up on that more, because I do think it's something that is really real in our country, because we've been so traumatized over the last like 40, 50 years.
And people who are younger, people who were born after the peace process, it's still affecting them through their parents, you know, handed down.
Yeah, that's it. And I was reading something the other day about transgenerational trauma, and it's basically like it begins in the womb. Like, so whatever kind of undealt with stuff that that you're, this is getting really deep now, but what that, you know, you're, is within your family, that is going to pass on to you, because it's part of your family genetics at that point. It hasn't been let out, it hasn't been dealt with, and it's gonna pass on to you. So, yeah, and I think it's up to kind of our generation and us to take responsibility for that and sort ourselves out, basically.
All right, and try and break the chain or whatever.
Break the chain, and that is why I'm such a big advocate for, oh, I would have the whole country in therapy if I could. I really, really would, because I think we all need it. And I think I felt like I was quite a well-rounded person before I started therapy. And I started therapy when I was training to be a therapist. We had to be in therapy. And it wasn't until after that that I realized, wow, I've needed this for so long. And it's what, five years later now, and I'm still in therapy and I'm still working through so much stuff. And every week I come out of it realizing how much is actually under there that keeps kind of like getting uncovered, but only when I'm ready. And I think that's a sign of a good therapist as well, whenever you're just like, no, we'll not open that door yet, you know, like not unless you're ready for it. Yeah, so there's a good few doors that I still need to open, and yeah, I would love everyone to be able to kind of go through that process as well. But I think trauma is something that is really good work. Like drama therapy is really good for working with it as well, because, you know, a lot of people don't even know they have it. A lot of people don't want to talk about it or can't talk about it yet. And that's the amazing thing about creative therapies. Like, you don't need to. You can work through it non-verbally or whatever way you kind of feel is right, basically. If you want to talk about it, you can as well. You know, there's no kind of hard and fast rules saying, no, you're not allowed to sit and chat for 5 minutes about something. But yeah, it's, I love how client led it is in that sense.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it sounds amazing. And I don't know if there's any, if that's available around in the South as well, but I'm sure.
I don't know. It is. Yeah, yeah. There's actually more drama therapists in the South than there are in the North, because we trained in the South in Maynooth in Kildare.
Oh, really? Maynooth, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, but that course actually ended the year we graduated, which was so sad. So yeah, there at the moment there are no drama therapy courses in Northern Ireland or in Ireland at all. Yeah. So I'm pushing some doors at the minute, and it's looking quite likely that in the next few years there's going to be one.
Oh, cool.
So I'm really excited about that. So keep your eyes peeled for that one, because it is going to happen. It just is probably going to take a couple of years. Because I really felt strongly about making sure that one was going to happen, and there are a good few people around who feel strongly like that as well. So there are a few of us who are very determined that it's going to. So
brilliant.
Going into that.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And are you doing any acting and singing at the moment yourself, apart from?
Oh, I am. Whenever I can, Joe. So
yeah.
Whatever. I'm not kind of like, I don't really like actively go and seek it. A lot of my life at the minute, I'm such a drama therapy nerd right now. Like a lot of my life is kind of dedicated at the minute to either providing drama therapy or advocating for it. You know, because another thing I'm really passionate about is getting drama therapy and creative arts therapies into the healthcare service. Into the NHS basically, so that's another thing that that takes up a lot of my time, I think. But yeah, I sing in I do a lot of backing vocals, so I would sing in a country band based in Wexford. I sing in a wedding band based in Belfast, and you know, if anyone wants me to sing at weddings, I'll do that, but I don't actively go looking for it. It's just like I love it so much, so it's just whenever the opportunity comes, I'm like, yeah, sure.
Okay, well, listen, thanks for having the chat. Do you think there's anything people could do to preserve or help their mental health, just in general?
So I would struggle. Like, that's something I'm not. I think people kind of need to be more vocal about, if they're ready, about mental health. And I'm not kind of ashamed to say that I would struggle with mine. So I'm always kind of looking for things to help me. So as I said earlier, like, this is my obvious one. I'm like, just go to therapy. You might not find the therapist that you're meant to be with. First of all, it doesn't have to be creative arts therapy. So there's drama therapy, music therapy, art therapy, there's dance movement therapy, there's expressive arts therapy, you know, there's so many creative arts therapies out there. But there's also kind of like CBT might work for you, or counseling might work for you, you know. It's all part of kind of like the holistic kind of mental health help that is out there. So find what works for you, just see what resonates with you in your body. Like, drama was always my thing, so I was just like, well, it makes sense for me to be/go to a drama therapist. So find what works for you and go for it. And you might not click with your therapist for a while. Keep at it for a couple of weeks, and if it still doesn't, just, you know, it's okay to move on as well. So don't lock yourself into a therapeutic relationship that you're not happy with, because that's not doing anyone any favors. My second one is one that I found recently, actually two that have helped me. And I've kind of recently started doing a lot of meditation, and that has done wonders for me. Like, I just start the day off on a completely different level than I used to now. Whenever I meditate, I'm not saying I do it every morning, because sometimes I wake up about 5 minutes after I'm meant to be in work. So yeah, there's a lot of days it doesn't happen, but when it does, yeah, it's insane.
Okay. Anyway, listen, it was brilliant chatting to you, and it's really good to see you again.
Yeah, you too. Lovely to connect again. That was, it was really, really, really fun.
Loved having a chat with Heather Turkington, and I love her accent. I could listen to her all day. She probably, as most people do, hates their own accent when they hear it back, or their own voice or whatever, because it's just unusual when you hear your own voice back, because you're used to listening to yourself in your head and it sounds different when you're listening to it as somebody else. But I love her accent. Just want to put that out there. If you're listening, Heather, love your accent. So that's it for today. I'm not sure who I have on next. I think I've been interviewing directors and actors for the last three podcasts, and perhaps I will do that for the next three and then switch it around to musicians for a while. And on that bombshell, goodbye. Goodbye.
Being a parent can be really challenging. It's normal to feel uncertain about whether you're doing the right things to raise healthy and happy children. That's why Child and Family Resource Network focuses on connecting pregnant parents and those with kids under the age of 5 with free support services to help them build confidence in their parenting journey. Everyone deserves to have someone they can turn to for support with parenting. Visit childandfamilyresourcenetwork.org today.